You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
So I want you to get excited. I want you to stir your expectation of your heart. I want you to lean in. I want you to stand up to your feet and honor these mighty men of God. We have Kevin Deddy, we have Nate Holmes, and we have Tim Robertson wrapping it up tonight. Here we go, Dr. Deddy. Come on.
Come on. Hello, there we go. Hey, good evening. All right, thanks for the opportunity, Dr. Matt. And how cool is our church that they give regular folks, non-preacher people, the opportunity to get up and share some life experience through the Bible. And so, Matt, thank you so much. And, you know, Brianna and David, I just wanted to say thank you to both of you for the years of laboring and tilling the soil here so that I could stand right here today. So I stand on the shoulders of giants. So thank you. All right. So I'm going to talk tonight about something called thought wars, because there is a war going on for the thoughts and minds of everybody in this country. And so if we go into 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5, we see that the weapons of our warfare are not against flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. God, let's just pray for a moment. God, thank you for the word that you've deposited in my heart tonight. Thank you for your generations of knowledge that you're compressing down into this few minutes that I have here. And Holy Spirit, that you will deposit this knowledge into the hearts of everyone here tonight, that it will diffuse within their heart, that it will saturate their heart for the remainder of their life. God, that tonight would not just be a Sunday night, but it would be the night, the Sunday night, that everything changes for everybody. We thank you for this in Jesus' name, amen. So hey, if we're gonna take every thought captive, you know, I was looking at this, and what does that look like? I mean, I've got a lot of thoughts going on through my head, you know, and science tells us that we have about 50,000 thoughts a day, and about 80% of those are negative in nature. Wow. And so if we think about that, you know, you wake up and you go, well, what am I gonna have for breakfast? What am I gonna have for lunch? What time is snack? What's my wife gonna make for dinner? What the heck is my kid lighting on fire over there? And on and on and on, and it just keeps going. So, you know, and I had to battle this. I realized being in this church for a number of years that I had a very hard heart, and I had a very negative attitude towards a lot of things, even though it didn't show, it was percolating underneath. And so when we're thinking about this stuff, what we have to understand is that thoughts, they lead to feelings, and those feelings dictate our actions that give us our results. So thoughts, feelings, action, results. And thoughts, if they're mixed with emotion, a strong enough emotion, that creates a belief. And those beliefs, if they're 80% negative, we have the ability to have some negative beliefs that are hardening our heart that we may not even realize. So what's a good strategy that, you know, that I've employed successfully over many years to clear the clutter and to shift that 80% negative into 80% positive? So let's take a look. Number one, stop feeding on negative stuff. Number one, I had to stop social media, deleted Facebook, got rid of it. I had to get rid of the negative music, the angry music. I grew up in a household, we loved heavy metal. My brother's a heavy metal drummer for the bands that you know, every single one of the ones. No, I'm not gonna do it. I can't do it. You can just Google my last name and drums and you'll see it all. The next thing was TV. And the interesting thing about TV is if TV stands, television, tell a vision. And that television, and they don't call it a television program for nothing, because they're programming our minds with their vision. And I thought, no, unless we're watching Hillsong TV. So, and of course, the late night computer activity, come on, somebody. We had to get that gone, get it out. And next, stop hanging around with negative people. This one was a hard one for me. I'm born and raised here in Encinitas, and so I've got a lot of people that I know, you know, just from growing up here. And a lot of these people, not the most positive people that I know. And you know, so when I get back to the Bible here and I look at Proverbs 18:21, life and death and the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Thank you. Those that love it will eat its fruit. So I realized that the negative people that I was hanging around with, I was eating the fruit of their negativity. And it was just circulating around in my life. And next I said, I got to stop speaking negatively and find a positive solution. Because these negative thoughts that I had, as I started speaking them, I realized I was manifesting them. And so I needed to find a positive solution. Like, there's always a way to win. With God on my side, there's always a way to succeed. And these things, they started as affirmations, but as I repeated them over and over and over again, and I added some emotion to them, they became a belief. And they started replacing those negative beliefs. Because John 1:14, the word became flesh. In other words, thoughts become things. Okay, like this shirt I'm wearing right now, this True North concept that some of us came up with, this thing started as an idea. Well, now I got my wife on the computer making these things, and so I'm wearing a physical shirt that started as an idea. But not just the physical shirt, now we've got 140, 150, come on somebody, we're gonna have 150 men standing in that foyer right there on Tuesday mornings. And if you're not there, you should be. You should be. So those are the things, the main things that I had to stop doing. And next, what did I have to start doing? Right. Well, I needed to start not only reading the Bible, but listening to the Bible. Because Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So to me, that meant listen to the audio version of the Bible. They got an app for that now, right? So on my 15-minute commute to my office every day, I start on January 2nd with Genesis 1, and I 15 minutes a day. And guess what? By the end of September, I will be through Revelation. And then the last quarter of the year, I will just spend in the New Testament, and I'll get through the New Testament 3 more times in those 3 months. Unbelievably powerfully, it changed my life so much because it sets the tone for the day. And then instead of jumping around in the Bible, I read it all the way through, and it gave it context and meaning to me personally. So the other thing is, before I got up in the morning, you know, many of us, it's like we get up and the wheel starts turning, right? And we start going, oh God, what do I got to do? You know, bills I got to pay, who I got to this, this person was mad at me, I got all this stuff I got to do. So what I did is before I'd get up in the morning, before my feet would even hit the ground, is I would just stop and say, thank you to God. Thank you for another day. Thank you for my wife laying next to me. Thank you for this house that I have. Thank you for this incredible church and the friends that I have. God, thank you for my business. Thank you for the ability to generate wealth. Holy Spirit, please come hang out with me today. Allow your healing power to flow through me, God, so that everybody that I contact today will feel your presence, your joy, your love, your grace, your kindness, your mercy. And every morning I do that before I get up. And again, and then I follow up with listening to the Bible. So I think I'm out of time, right? A couple minutes. And lastly, let me close with this. I want to say this. Don't ever, ever give up on yourself. Come on. Ever. The God of this universe sent his only son to this planet to be born into flesh in a filthy, dirty barn so he could be raised in a world that hates him, that mocked him and scoffed him, hung him on a cross to laugh at him so he could die for us. You are worth it. Don't ever forget that. That's what I got for you tonight.
Hello, 5 o'clock service. You guys ready to have some fun? All right. I want to start off just by giving honor to our pastors Pastor Matt and Michaela. You guys have been not only a blessing to me, but to my family. And we so appreciate you guys. Thank you for pulling the gold out of us. We have a few other people here. My amazing mom is here. Wave your hand. My amazing grandma, she just turned 80. And I also, I really wanted my dad to be here. He's on a travel trip, but I know he's going to listen to this. So I just want to honor you, Dad. I love you, and thank you for instilling the things in me that taught me how to be a man, really. But most importantly, my amazing wife. You are more than I could have ever hoped for. And I love that you're my best friend and you're my biggest fan. So thank you. All right, guys, let's get this going. So tonight, I'm just going to share with you guys a little bit about my life. I've been so privileged that I grew up in an amazing Christian family. You know, my dad was a pastor and grew up with great morals. Just the foundation was laid for me. And so as a kid, you know, I never really was a real troubled kid. I think maybe my mom would disagree a little bit, but, when I was in high school, I wasn't a partier. I wasn't any of those things. And what most people look at as what a bad kid is, right? And I was really plugged into church. I was active leader in the high school ministry and things like that. And I got into some trouble when I was 18. And when I got in trouble, I had a lot of shame around it and a lot of guilt, and I didn't really want people to know about it. And I went to some leaders that I really trusted, that I thought I could trust, and turned out that that trust was betrayed. And it was the first time I really felt betrayal. And so I actually started to build up these false walls. And these walls were fear and distrust, anger, guilt, you know, all these things that start building up. And actually, that was a huge turning point in my life where I said, you know what? I don't need church. And if I was really honest in that moment, I was actually pretty bitter at God too. And so for about 6 years, I did a really good job of train wrecking my life. I did what I thought was great, what the world said was great. I went out and I worked hard and I accomplished things in that way. And then when I was 24, sorry. So when I was 24, my grandpa got really sick. And the last week that he was alive, he told my grandma to tell me something. He told my grandma to tell me that he loves me and that he wants me to get my life right with God. And you know, a lot of people, that would impact them so heavily that it would shake them to a point where they would turn their life around. The hardest part for me was that I was so guarded and I had so many walls up from the offense from before that I didn't even know how to receive it. And so I actually did the polar opposite of what my grandpa was trying to get to me. And I ran so recklessly the other way. I started using drugs. Sorry, Mom. I started drinking a lot. I was so miserable. I really hated the feeling, and I was trying to fill this empty void in my life that was supposed to be God, yet all I was doing was just trying to fill it with everything that I could get in the world. And on the outside, I really did look like I had it put together. You know, I had a really good job. I was 26, 27 years old, making multiple six figures. You know, all my friends were like, wow, this is awesome. You know, you've got all the toys that you've ever wanted, and you're not even 30, you know? And then one day, I can remember this so vividly. I woke up and I go and I walked into the bathroom and I looked in the mirror and I hated the person that was looking back at me. And I just thought to myself, what happened? who am I? Where did I go? I lost my identity in all these walls that I had built up. And over time, through everything, I started building up more and more and more and more of these walls. And right in that moment, right in that bathroom, I felt the words that my grandpa said to my grandma pierce my heart. It was like a shockwave from the Holy Spirit right down into that bathroom. And I understood exactly what my grandpa was trying to tell me and what God was trying to tell me through my grandpa. It was that God loves me. And through my own stubbornness, I built up these false walls that I wouldn't allow God to love me. And I didn't even allow the people that loved me the most to speak into my life. It made me so sad because when I realized that, I realized how much I missed out, how much love that I missed out on. And so through the process of time, I made that decision that day, through the process of time, that I was gonna break down these walls and I was gonna get my life back right. And so I started praying again. I started reading the Bible again. I started coming to this church and actually allowing people that do love me speak into my life and get the words into my heart that I needed to hear. And it's been an amazing process. The verse that I wanted to share with you guys tonight is Proverbs 4:23. It says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything flows from it." And I think that's such an amazing verse because it's so important to guard. The mistake that I made is that I never guarded my heart, that I was always so wide open that anything could have penetrated me. So then I went so far the other way that all I did was build up these walls and nothing could penetrate me. So my encouragement to you guys tonight is that, you know, really look at your heart. We're gonna have an opportunity tonight to come down and get prayer. I encourage you guys, look at your heart. What are the walls that you've built up? What are the areas in your life that maybe you have harbored offense? Is it fear? Is it guilt? Is it shame? Is it anxiety? Is it something that you've been carrying that you don't need to carry? Because I can promise you this, that's not the way that God has destined you to live your life. So I just encourage you, be bold and step out in faith knowing that God will break those things off of you. That's all I got for you guys tonight. Thank you so much.
Come on, let's give it up for Nate. Wow. Wow. Hey. You're taking my time. Okay. Hey, I want to consider it to let you know that I consider it an honor and a privilege to be here behind this pulpit. And I know the sacrifice that it takes to have a great organization like C3. And I don't pretend to even take this lightly at all. And what a blessing and an honor it is to be here. And for those of you who may not know us, we are the Robertsons. And Cheryl, my wife, go ahead and stand up. My kids, Kaylee and Joseph, stand up. Amazing kids, 16, 20 years old, and they love C3, serving in different ministries. My beautiful wife, 27 years. Come on, baby. She's an amazing woman of God. She's been my support, and she makes me laugh nearly every single day of my life. She's a wonderful lady, awesome. In 2006, she was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer and actually almost died, and took a year and a half of our lives. And during that season, we got invited by some friends who happened to live in San Diego at the time. We were in the desert, and they said, "Come and just rest with us." And we did that. And they said, "Hey, you got to come to our church." And so we decided to go to church with them. It happened to be C3 in the school. And this was in 2006, 2007. Pastor Leanne was preaching that Sunday night, brought a powerful word and actually stopped the service and prophesied, came off the stage and prophesied over my wife, came to her and prophesied over my life. It made, over her life, it made such an impact on our lives at the time. And we said that if God ever granted the desire of our heart, which is to live in Southern California, and maybe if it could be San Diego, we would come to C3. And here we are. God brought us to Southern California, and we live in Carlsbad, we live in the Village, and we looked up C3 North, baby. We came here, and in 5 minutes, we knew this is where God told us to be, and we love it. We honor Pastor Michaela, Dr. Matt, amazing leaders, and we know that God is doing great things, and I don't have time to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Michaela, I actually saw something for you. I want to just speak this over your life. Listen, what you did today was so powerful in your vulnerability and sharing. What you did this morning, if you were in the morning services, particularly in the 11 o'clock where I was at, Pastor Michaela shared an area where she was just struggling. She had to give it to the Lord. Friends, that's vulnerability. That's realness. That's sincerity. And as Pastor Michaela, as you were sharing that, I actually thought of Jehu in 2 Kings. And I don't know if you know anything about Jehu, but Jehu was the one that was responsible for killing Jezebel. And I saw Jehu, and Jezebel represents a spirit of domination and control, among other things. And it's the spirit of vulnerability and transparency that breaks that dominating, controlling spirit that doesn't allow anybody else the privilege or the opportunity to walk in the things of God. And this prophetic anointing that's on your life is that Jehu type of anointing that will not only prophesy and declare, but will protect and guard the sheep from being manipulated by a spirit of domination and control. And I love the prophetic growth that's happening in your life, Pastor Michaela. All right. How in the world is it like 6 minutes? This is crazy. How do we do this? One of the most difficult challenges that you could ever give a guy that's been in ministry for 27 years and preached hundreds of sermons to tell him he's got 10 minutes to preach. This is crazy. Tonight, I want to talk to you about Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king of Persia. And incidentally, I love this. The word Nehemiah literally means Yahweh brings comfort. Isn't that awesome? Nehemiah, we pick up in chapter 1, and we see that the Jews, after being in exile for 70 years, have come back to Jerusalem, and they've built the temple, and they are able to worship God, which is a powerful thing. Amen, friends? But the city itself continued to lie in ruin. The city itself was an ash heap because the walls of the city had not been built. And as a result of that, they were basically in economic ruin. And this young cupbearer decided to do something about it. And we pick up his voice right here in Nehemiah chapter 1 in verse 4. He heard about the walls being torn down. And he said this, "When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and I fasted and I prayed before the God of heaven." In other words, Nehemiah had a heart check. Nehemiah had a heart cry. And I want to talk to you tonight about what is your heart cry? What is your heart cry? Nehemiah had a heart cry. He had a heart check. He had to do something about it. One of the things I love about C3 a couple of months ago on Vision Sunday, I've heard Vision Sundays for years and years and years, and I've always heard Vision Sunday as what the church is going to do, but Vision Sunday here is about what we are going to do, what we as the men and women of God are going to do. So in other words, 2 months ago, every single one of us had the opportunity to have a heart check. Come on, friends. We had a heart check. We were able to see what our heart's cry was, and we were able to write down on vision cards what that heart cry was. And my prayer is that each and every one of you are doing that. But I want to follow up with you tonight just for a few minutes. How is your heart cry doing? Where is the vision of your heart? What's going on? There's a few observations I want to point out in the book of Nehemiah. I've got three things. I won't be able to develop all three things, but we'll develop one of them. One of the first things that I see about Nehemiah and his ability to be able to rebuild the walls. Nate talked about the false walls. Nate talked about the walls of deception, bitterness, the walls of manipulation of the enemy, these false walls that need to be torn down by us. And when we invite Jesus Christ in our life and we understand the power and the truth of who Jesus is, when we invite him into our life, we have the power and the courage to break and tear down those false walls. And if you're here tonight and you've never had the opportunity to invite Jesus, you're going to have that opportunity to invite Jesus in your life. Those are the false walls, but Nehemiah knew that he needed to build the real walls. Come on, friends. The real wall is a wall of support, a wall of strength, a wall of protection, a wall of courage, and a wall of power and authority. Come on, friends. And that's what C3 brings to each and every one of us. That's what C3 is. You know, in the Old Testament, God lived in the temple. The presence of God was in the temple. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, the sacrifice that he paid on the cross, we become temples of the living God. Amen? So my question to you tonight is this. You may know Jesus, and if you don't know Jesus, you're going to get a wonderful opportunity to invite him in your life. But if you know Jesus tonight, I'm asking you, how are the walls around your temple? Are there false walls that need to be broken down? Or do you need God's men and women to help gather strength around you to build the proper walls up? Come on, friends. Three things that I see about Nehemiah. The first is that Nehemiah knew his position in the Father. He knew his position in the Father. The second thing that I see is that Nehemiah was committed to the process. He was committed to the process. The third thing I see about Nehemiah is that as he was committed to the process and as he knew his position, the third thing, he was a vessel for the power of God to work through him. Come on, friends. But let's talk about his position in the Father very, very quickly. His position in the Father. And we see his position in the Father in his prayer in verses 5 through 11. And I just want to pull a couple of things out if I could. In verse 5 of chapter 1 of Nehemiah, I want to point out just some things. I don't have time to read 5 through 11, but I just want to point out some things in verse 5. Recognize this, that he recognizes the authority of God. He says, "You are awesome, God." Why does he do that? I believe we should give honor and credit where honor and credit is due. But let me tell you something. I believe it's important for us to honor God in our prayer because it reminds us of the God that we serve. Does that make sense to you? When we focus on the sovereignty, when we focus on the omnipresence of God, when we focus on the power of God, when we declare who he is, even Jesus taught us how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Amen. So yes, we give honor where honor is due, but when we begin to communicate the characteristics and the attributes of who Jesus is, it reminds us of the God that we serve. Come on, friends. Oh, I don't have time. We'll just go quick. Verse 6, notice this, he prays day and night for this thing. Let me ask you a question for your heart cry. Are you praying day and night? On your vision card, are you praying day and night? Are you reminding yourself of the things that God wants to do in your life? Listen to me, man. We're coming here as fairly healthy folks coming to C3. But there are certain areas in my life where I am a hot mess. And I'm just being honest and I'm being transparent with you right now. I'm a hot mess in certain areas. And part of my vision card was that I'm going to break the poverty mindset in my life. I'm going to destroy the poverty mindset in my life. And I'm going to pray for the abundance of my God to sustain me and give me strength. Come on, friends. It's important to recognize that. My question to myself, Tim, are you praying about this day and night? See, I'm pointing at me, okay? I'm pointing at me. Are you praying about this day and night? Look at this in verse 7, and I've run out of time. Look at this in verse 7. Oh my gosh, look here. Verse 7, he confesses his sin. He confesses his sin. Not only does he confess his sin, but he confesses the sin of his father's house. So many times we don't want to confess sin. We're embarrassed about it. Or so many times we don't realize that we are sinners. Because in our society, we are the shifting of the blame kind of generation. The victim mentality that says it's somebody else's fault. Nehemiah could have said, hey, it wasn't me. They abandoned you 70 years ago, God. I don't even know who they are. But Nehemiah said, the buck stops here. I take responsibility. That's what he was doing. I take responsibility. Maybe you're being manipulated by the false walls of deception with the enemy, but tonight you can take responsibility and you can say, tonight the buck stops here. I confess my sin. And why do we confess our sin? We take responsibility and then we give it over to Jesus. We become clear vessels of the presence of God that he can use us in mighty, powerful ways. And looky here in verse 8 and 9. He uses the word of God in prayer to declare the Father's great promises over him and his nation. He went back to Moses. And he said, hey, God, you remember what you said to Moses? You said to Moses, if they rebelled, you would scatter. You did say that. But God, you also said, if we repented, you would gather us again. And I'm repenting, God. I'm repenting. Will you gather us again? Come on, friends. We've got to use the promises of God. We've got to remind ourselves of the promises, God, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You have a hope, you have a calling, you have a promise, and you will fulfill that thing that he has begun in you. The work that he started in you, he will finish it to the very end. Come on, somebody give God a shout in this place. The last thing in his prayer I find very interesting, and I love Dr. Matt and how he spent time on this. Look in verse 11. He prays to prosper. He prays to prosper. The word prosper means there to be enriched in every single area. To be enriched in every single area. God's people must prosper because the visions and the dreams that he has given us need abundance and prosperity in order for them to be fulfilled. Amen? He prayed to prosper. He prayed to prosper. Tonight, you heard a perfect scenario, a perfect message in three men. You heard that we have to take responsibility for the thought patterns of our life. You heard a man in his vulnerability, in his realness, share how the enemy took over his thought pattern and how the manipulation of the enemy built walls in his life. False walls, facades, manipulative walls. But you also saw an example of a man who became a man of God, who laid down bitterness, anger, manipulation, and control, and he began to pick up who Jesus really was in him. You see, friends, C3, in a lot of ways, is a culture. And we need C3 in this culture to help us establish and build the walls of peace and strength around us. That's why I sow in one service and soak in another. That's why I choose to find my place on the wall and fight. Come on, friends. That's why I choose to go to Tuesday morning prayer. That's why I choose to do that. That's why I choose to go to Emerge Conference. That's why I choose to go, because I need to be with men who will extend their hand and say, son, I'll fight with you. You don't have to break. You don't have to break this poverty mindset on your own. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. And we will have victory together. Come on, let's give God a shout in this place tonight. If you're here tonight and you say, Tim, I don't know that I know about this Jesus, tonight is your opportunity to receive Jesus in your life. As I told you in the Old Testament, the Father, God, Jehovah God, dwelled in a temple. But because of the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ, and what he did on the cross, there was a new covenant and a new opportunity for us to receive the Spirit of God through his son, Jesus Christ, to dwell in us. Each and every one of us has an opportunity for a personal relationship with Jesus. Someone once said that every single soul has a vacuumed aspect in their heart that only God can fill. And as you heard Nate say tonight, he tried to find everything else in the world to fill that void and that vacuum in his life. But I'm here to tell you that tonight, Jesus is the only one that can fill that void. He can bring healing from bitterness, anger, frustration, loneliness, isolation. The enemy right now wants you to remain isolated. The enemy right now wants you to resist. But I'm here to tell you, if you choose Jesus, you will receive a love and a power in your life that you have never known possible. Ever known possible. Will you accept Jesus Christ tonight with every eye closed and every head bowed and no one looking around? I'm going to ask you, those of you who need Jesus in your life, to invite Christ in your life, to confess him as your Lord and Savior. I want everyone in the room to begin praying. And if you're here tonight and you need Jesus, we're going to say a prayer with you. And you can invite Christ in your life right now. I'm just going to count to three. I want you to be prepared to raise your hand. One, everyone in the room, begin praying right now. Pray like you've never prayed before. In my spirit, I believe that there are those here that need Jesus Christ in their life. Two, are you ready? Three, lift up your hand if you need Jesus in your heart right now. Lift up your hand. Lift up your hand. You say, I need Jesus in my life. Yes, right there. I see your hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Right there. I see you right there. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else need Jesus in your life? Anyone else? I want everyone to say this prayer with me. This is a confession of our sin right now. And we're inviting Jesus to come into our life to make us whole and to make us righteous in him again. Everyone pray this with me. Dear Jesus, I need you. I recognize you are the Son of God. I invite you in my life to be my personal Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and save me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give God praise in this place tonight. If you said that prayer tonight, we have two wonderful books we want to give you. The first is a Following Jesus book, which is really an intro to the things of God. And the second book is a Bible. And we want to encourage you to receive that. And if you have invited Jesus in your life, we want to know about that. And so you can come to me if you like after the service, or we have some folks that will reach out to you as well. But don't leave this place without connecting to someone and letting them know of your decision for Jesus Christ. I'm going to call the ministry team up. If you'll just come up and get ready, ministry team. Tonight, I feel like it's important for us to solidify once again our heart's cry. And let's not allow the enemy to deceive us in the things that we are working on and the dreams that we have. Come on, friends. And let's come into the power of agreement. Just like when Nehemiah, what he did in verse 18, when the king gave him permission to say, "You can go, son, and rebuild the walls of your home." Nehemiah went, in verse 18, he told the men of Jerusalem, and the men came in agreement with Nehemiah and said, "We will join hand in hand with you in rebuilding this wall." These great ministry team leaders are standing here waiting to join hand in hand with you in the rebuilding of the walls of righteousness, authority, power, encouragement, and strength to accomplish that thing that's on the inside of you. Amen, friend.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about our pastors, team, and what we do at C3 San Diego, go to c3sandiego.com.